Whale, Dr. Stan, here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, with us today is one of my favorite guests. His name is Tal Brook, and Tal has been studying this move towards world government for many years. In fact, at one time, he was sort of on the other side of this. He was associated with the gurus over there in India and a disciple of Sai Baba, and you really need to read his books. He has one on his association with Sai Baba, and then another book about this new world that is coming, this one world order. Tal, what's the new title of your book?
Well, it's called One World, and it's got, golly, hundreds of pictures in it, and about 40% new material over, above, and beyond the bestseller that it was 10 years ago when it was called When the World Will Be as One. So this is really a super new edition.
And, of course, you know, most people really cannot imagine that we would ever have a one-world government and we'd lose our freedom and you know, have the same freedoms that they have in Russia and in China today. But, of course, that's really what it's all about, because once you have a one-world government, our Constitution will simply become a remembrance of things past. So what's the real motive behind this? Why does anybody want a one-world government with the destruction of freedom as we've known it?
Boy, that is a really good question. The interesting thing is that this is a multi-layered pattern. I mean, that's why my book is over 300 pages long, just dealing with this, the background between paper currency versus gold to who put together the Federal Reserve, why did they sneak off in a train from New York, you know, Penn Station to Jekyll Island, Georgia. Why did they do this under secrecy? What is it in common that our Federal Reserve has with the central banks of Europe? And then a telescope at, you know, almost 100 years till today, when you've got heavy-duty politicos and wealthy industrial leaders meeting on the sly, and things like the Bilderberger meetings. and then throw in the fact that in all of the media, it seems to me, in wave after wave, in making the public docile and passive and ready for whatever new injection is on the horizon, have you noticed, and I know you have, Stan, that whether it's movies or TV things, they kind of prep you for the next wave. There's a lot of this Orwellian doublethink, and certainly, part of it is in public school and in high school and in the media and just the double think of the society. But what it really says, to answer your question, is that, of course, who really wants world government are the people that will run the world government, because I think ever since the Tower of Babel was attempted and God blocked it, there have been repeated attempts and by enormous powers, and I'll leave it right there, to have world government. It just seems to me that if, whether you're reading Revelation or Thessalonians, God at some point is going to allow it to happen, more out of judgment than anything else. And then the power players, if you're a power player, I mean, maybe you knew that when you were a child. I remember we used to go to a seaside resort, and when we were about 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, we played Monopoly. Do you remember that passion you used to get? I got it when you're winning the game, and you extrapolate that, you know, from hundreds of thousands to millions and billions and then trillions of dollars. And then I'm sure Bill Gates doesn't think he has enough money. Are you following me on this?
I absolutely, right.
And therefore, it reminds me, too, of when Barbara Wawa interviewed the final Rockefeller, David Rockefeller. You may remember at a party. in the 1970s, he proposed starting the Trilateral Commission, and he was actually a party in Washington, D.C., and present were some real heavyweights, including Kissinger, among others, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Jimmy Carter, of course, was hanging around this party because they wanted to get him into the White House, and he was a member of the Trilateral Commission. And here's the interesting thing. This same David Rockefeller, who funded and proposed the Trilateral Commission, was interviewed by Barbara Wawan, and she said to him, you know, your family legacy is that you all really have had billions, and you've lived at a level that the world can't even glimpse in this huge house. Did you ever think of what it was like for sort of life on for the serfs on the outside? I said, no, not really. You know, I'm used to being elite. And so, I mean, in a sense, it's like there is a different group of people who are not even remotely sympathetic. They can play the game of philanthropy, and they do. They do. They're great tax write-offs. It's a great way to start different things like abortion mills and other things under this philanthropic front. But the truth is, David Rockefeller is really an interesting model of the kind of infinite greed and the kind of strange passions that you get it right at the top, at the very end.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. My friend Bill Dannemeyer was a congressman for many years.
Right, I remember him.
And he told me, though, the one night he and Bob Dornan and a number of other Republicans, maybe 10 or 15 other Republicans, met with David Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
And David commented, just sort of off the record, you know, some men are born to rule, but most people are born to be ruled.
That's right.
And, of course, this is the attitude of the elite, the aristocracy, the people of great wealth, who are going to provide this wonderful new utopian world where everybody will be a serf and they will be the masters. It's a return to feudalism. And until people understand...
Yeah, that's it. It is a return to feudalism.
Until people understand that's exactly what they intend to do. And, of course, they've been using America's military and financial power to install dictators throughout the world. Why do we have our troops in communist Georgia and communist Uzbekistan and communist Kazakhstan maintaining the communist or former communist dictators in power? Well, we're going to be right back here in a few minutes with Tal Brooks talking about his book on the New World Order.
One world.
Where the world will be one.
One world.
One world. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and of course we hope many of you out there will decide you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and we'd love to have you. For a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter. And then we want to remind you we're going to be having a meeting here out of the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the 23rd of November, and we're going to tell you what we think the problems are and help you to prepare for what I believe are very difficult times that lie ahead. I believe we're moving into a financial collapse, a financial crisis, and if you're not prepared, you could lose everything you spent your whole life working for, because when the dollar begins to degenerate, and of course George Soros has said that he anticipates the dollar could lose 30%, and if we go into a recession, it could lose a lot more. That means your bonds, your annuities, your bank accounts, all of these things, of course, will lose dramatically in their value. And, of course, what you've worked your whole life for can soon be lost. Could it happen? Well, if you'd like to come, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about your health, because we keep hearing talk about the possibility of a biological attack here in America. Oh, well, that might happen elsewhere, but it could never happen here. But we've already had an anthrax attack. And, of course, the anthrax, it would appear, it came from our own laboratories, militarized-grade anthrax. The only people who could have made that was our own laboratories. And then, of course, what are the spiritual implications? They want us to take some sort of a digital chip. So we have to get away to a cashless society where we neither buy nor sell. Remember, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and come to the program. Mm-hmm. We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, that video we were talking about is really Oklahoma City cover-up in Oklahoma, I think is the title of it. And then, of course, we were talking about this conference we're going to have. It's going to be an all-day conference. It's going to start at 8:45 in the morning, and it goes straight through to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There will be a lunch. There will be a syllabus. We're going to bring in some what I think are excellent speakers. Bill Sardi will be here talking on health. Joan Paris, who went to Johannesburg, will be talking on the plan of the elite, what they intend to do. Jeannie Sodom is going to talk about how they're going to implement it. Of course, Brad Dacus will be talking about the plan for Christian persecution across America. And, of course, I'll be talking on your finances. I'll be talking about the spiritual aspect of what's going to happen. And then, of course, what you have to do to prepare for what I believe are very difficult times that lie ahead as we move into World War III. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have to have knowledge ahead of time how many people are going to be there so they can prepare the lunches, and we hope that you can make it. Well, our guest today is Tal Brook. We're talking about his book, One World. Of course, it's a repeat of the book, When the World Will Be as One, but it's got 40% more material. It's got fascinating pictures in it, and it's really a great update of a very, very important book, because there is a plan to create a one-world government, and with that, the destruction of the America that we've known. So how far are they along the way to doing this, Tal?
I think very far. By the way, if you don't mind, let me give an 800 number out where people can get the book.
Oh, we actually carry the book here.
Oh, that's true.
We carry that book, and we carry your other book. What's your other book?
Avatar of Night.
Avatar of Night. If you haven't read that, that's one of the that's the story of Tal over in India as the disciple of Sai Baba.
It's much more than Sai Baba, because it's about the, which you write about, but it's about the entire seduction into the great Genesis 3 lie, the different mind states that you see in the whole Eastern thing. So it really covers, you know, a broad path of Eastern delusion, if you want to know the truth.
And, of course, you were part of that delusion.
Yeah, I was.
For many years.
Yeah, I sure was. And the interesting thing, too, is I grew up in a family that believed in one world government. My dad was a liberal, what they call Washington egghead, and he believed in the utopian vision. And the truth is, if people don't have a Christian basis, and he was an atheist, then you believe that man is going to create his own utopia, and so you walk through the different exhibits of the earth, and you've got all these intellectuals, you know, from the so-called Darwinians knocking the biological sciences straight, and then you have John Maynard Keynes, a Fabian socialist, coming over here and telling us that we need to get off the gold standard and have fiat paper. The massive banquet of geniuses behind the world order is enough to stop you in place. And the sad thing is that the poor people who are going to be regulated have far smaller IQs, if I can be very honest. And most of them, the few that are vaguely interested, are only interested out of self-interest. Now, among the Christians, there's more awareness, because at least they're aware that somewhere in the Bible there's a pattern of a terrible world leader that will be called the Antichrist, and that the mercantile and spiritual Babylon will be global. And then somewhere a lot of Christians say, gee, aren't we going to have a mark? And then now and then they hear about the biochip, and they think, wow, that's interesting. We could actually do it. So more Christians wake up, but the range and depth of this thing is enough to stop you in your tracks.
Well, yeah, so interesting. You know, many of our Christian leaders are saying, go ahead and take the chip. You got nothing to worry about, yeah. You know. It's only if you worship the beast that you'll have anything to worry about, you know. And
a lot of these people are cowards. I mean, I think there's a lot very wrong, and you probably will agree, with American Christianity right now. There's something terrible afoot in the American church. And I haven't fully put my hand on it. I don't know whether there's a difference between what everyone says in sort of a group liturgy versus what they privately believe, or there's some impotence in the church, or there's some kind of strange double standard. But they all seem to be immersed in the fluid of our world order society. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, there's all sorts of justifications why we shouldn't be involved or doing anything about what's happening as America goes to hell, as it were.
That's it.
Figuratively. And, of course, well, God is sovereign. No question God is sovereign.
You know, the trouble is, imagine the founders of this republic sort of penetrated with the philosophy in the church now of just let the culture go down and let's not fight. They would have said, you know, let's not have a Continental Congress. I think I'm going to move to our state in Virginia. We're just going to get ready to get raptured and forget the whole thing.
Right.
That's the trouble, Stan.
Oh, absolutely. And the point I would like to make is, yes, I don't disagree that God will come and there will be a rapture. But what happens if it happens 30 to 50 years after America's fallen and your family's been slaughtered? And, you know, what will you say? What will you think?
There
How
you
will
go.
You feel about it? You have an obligation. We were put here to be active and to be involved. And if, of course, the society is a reflection of the church, then, of course, there's something seriously wrong with the church, because there's something seriously wrong with society.
That's absolutely right on the nose. Now, I've been saying that for years. I'm actually not a pre-trib rapture guy. I never have been in 30 years. Most of the people I go on with sort of are. What I say is, have the viewpoint that your life is going to matter and live like the early Christians, where you could die in the Circus Maximus, killed by a lion, and maybe not go up into the sky. You know, be ready to fight right to the end.
Well, I think men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose.
That's
and I
it.
Think we are called
yeah.
to be involved as long as we're here. I don't know when the rapture is coming.
That's right.
We may be a pre-tribulation rapture. I hope there is. I wish I could go home to be with the Lord tomorrow. But
I don't believe in one, but I hear you.
But if it occurs, great. But what happens if it doesn't occur?
That's it.
Then what are you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, imagine the founders of this republic reading the late great Planet Earth and saying, well, golly, there's this sign and this sign. We would have lost 200 years of the richest history on earth.
Yes, amen. And of course, you know, they were preaching the same things back at the time of when Adolf Hitler was in power.
Yep.
And the church was the problem. It wasn't the solution.
Yeah.
The reason Hitler was successful was because of the Christian church. If you haven't read that wonderful book by Erwin Lutzer, Hitler's Cross, I recommend that to everybody out there in the listening audience. And, of course, you certainly want to get the book, Tal Brooks' book, One World.
One World, yeah, which we go into every facet, I think, into this thing, from quotes just in the past 2 and 3 years of major hitters, and you see it all happening.
Sure.
And it was interesting, by the way, that recently none other than Walter Cronkite, and I need to be honest, he's been a useful idiot, of the power brokers and parroting a lot of what they say, and they've got kind of a mock-out picture of him looking scared on the internet, saying this is World War III. Well, finally, Walter, maybe you've got it right. You know, maybe you finally have it right.
Well, of course, Walter is a one-world federalist. I get all
curious.
The publications. He's totally dedicated to this idea of world government without realizing, of course, I believe they're going to utilize this war. I think it's a created war, as all wars
Absolutely.
Are. And they're going to use this to bring about this one-world government. An awful lot of American boys and Iraqi boys and Iraqi Christians, because about 10% of Iraq is Christian, and they're going to die.
Yeah.
And the good people who do nothing are responsible. You know, no way you can abrogate your responsibility. Dante told us the hottest places in hell are reserved for those in a time of moral crisis maintain a position of neutrality. And we've got about 200, at least 150 Christians today who are maintaining a position of neutrality.
Yeah, 150 million of them.
Right.
No, it's as I say, there's something horribly wrong. And I saw it when I first got back from India, after being in India a number of years, thinking Christianity was a joke, and finally I get converted in a hotel room in India. This is before I learned of the One World Agenda. I mean, I had to read the book of Revelation and just kind of look at the skyline. And then I told you there was this book I found in Bombay dealing mostly with international banking and global socialism and different power groups. And the minute I read this book, you know, back in the 70s, it blew my head right off. I just thought, this is what's going on. This is part of the tentacles of Mystery Babylon.
And, of course, international banking is part of it, isn't it? This is what people don't realize.
It may be the most powerful part of it because, you know, number one, the simple economics lesson in the Old Testament through Chaldean and Babylonian banking, number one, if I give you an interest account and loan you the you owe me everything, your debt load is just unpayable. I make sure that you can never pay it. Then I say to you, listen, you've really become my slave. And you said, yes, I am your slave because I owe so much I can never pay you. So, well, here's how we'll work it out. You become a slave. I will tenure you for most of your life, and I might forgive you. Well, you do this with every citizen in the world. If you have every nation on earth owing their net worth, which they just about do, and I come along and say, look, I'm a financial genius. Let's have a global order. The cement of this thing will be the forgiveness of this global debt, but we'll do it by making every person an indentured servant to earth. And frankly, the global government of 13 with the one at the very top.
And that's exactly what this is happening.
Well, basically, I mean, you know, one of the people at Princeton who was there before I was there as a student was a genius named Irvin Laszlo, who used general systems theory to create world government.
All right, we're going to be back in just a minute with Tal Brook, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just comment that I've used the Be Alive Royal Jelly products for 8 to 10 years, and I'm doing pretty well considering I'm almost 74, and we go from early morning to late in the evening. It's designed to give you extra energy, and my wife's had me on it, and, well, I think I'm doing pretty well, and I think you probably would, too. Anyway, you may want to give it a try. Give them a call at 1-866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. This is the royal jelly that the queen bee eats. And the queen bee lives about 6 years, and the rest of the bees live about 6 weeks. So there's got to be something to it, and it's sold with a money-back guarantee. And if you're not completely pleased at the end of 3 months, you get your money back. Call 866-233-7500. Talk to the women there, and I think you'll be as convinced as I am that it's certainly worth trying. And, of course, I, as a testimony, that really does work. We did not approach the company. They approached us. We've certainly been glad to have their support during this past month. Again, Be Alive Royal Jelly, the telephone number, 1-866-233-7500. And then let me mention the Big Berkey. The ultimate water filter is economical, it's convenient, it's powerful, it's excellent, it's flexible, and of course it gives you sparkling clear water. Ordinarily they're $279.90, and you can get one for $249. And if you call today and mention Dr. Stan's recommendation, you'll get two sport filtration bottles. That's a value of $70. You get that absolutely free. Call 888-803-4438. That's 803-4438. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest today is Tal Brook, his book, One World, and of course it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, and his other book, Avatar of Night, really is a thrilling, thrilling read. You know, it's Tal's experience going to India in search of spiritual enlightenment, and of course, coming into personal relationship, being drawn deeper and deeper into this occult world, and the true spiritual power that is available to people who tap into this dark force. But of course, you'd tap into it at the risk of your eternal salvation. And then, of course, coming to know the Lord, and, of course, coming back to the United States. Would you like to put out your telephone number where people could get in touch with you and get your magazine and other material you put out?
Sure. We're in Berkeley. We're on the Internet. And let me give you the phone number. It's 510-540-0300, and one of our staff will get the call. We're here 40 hours a week, so, and we do a bunch of journals and newsletters and all sorts of goodies, and on the web, the address is www.scp-incorporated.org for organization, and SCP has been around about 27 years, and we're considered one of the top three apologetic ministries in probably the world, actually.
And you deal with spiritual counterfeits.
All kinds.
What does SCP stand for?
Spiritual Counterfeits Project. We're kind of stuck with that name because we're incorporated in the 70s, and that's our name. So I've just sort of changed a little to SCP, but we have many, many groups on file and lots of material on a lot of different subjects.
Well, you know, the thing is that in every major city in America, and even in little towns like where I live in Santa Cruz, there's a metaphysical bookstore.
Yeah,
and
always.
And you can go into that bookstore and you can get all sorts of occult books on witchcraft and Satanism. And
yeah. Well,
people sort of laugh and, oh, yeah. But let me tell you, in Santa Cruz, that's one of the busiest bookstores in the entire town.
Yeah, where you are, and same here in Berkeley. No, we have more witches than Christians in Berkeley. Believe me, we do. I mean, the whole cultural consensus is to that real Christians are going to be a real screaming minority. And meanwhile, you've got, I mean, it's like Berkeley Day. I was there with my digital camera a few weeks ago, and they were celebrating shamanism, Native Americanism, neo-paganism right there in the Martin Luther King Park in front of the city hall. I mean, this kind of stuff is all the time. Believe me, the Christian presence is minuscule, and I keep thinking Berkeley's a preview of the America soon to come. And that really fits world order, because the world order geniuses, I mean, if we were at Stanford University and said, okay, everyone with 180s and over, come into the room here, we're going to plan something. And so you say, first of all, if you're going to have a world order, you'd better hammer divisive philosophies, worldviews, and religious beliefs so that they amalgamate into one. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, you do what Teilhard de Chardin did. You use a symbolical approach to create a mystical union among all the world religions. And I go into that in the book One World. And we actually go into it in some of the writings. You think the way you get rid of all the fundamentalisms, and you, number one, you call all these people idiots, literalist idiots, and then after you patronize them, you do what liberal theologians did at Harvard Divinity School. You do what Paul Tillich and others did by rendering it sort of under Jungian symbolism. And so it's really no different from any other mystical revelation. Because, remember, we as ambitious world order leaders need this kind of amalgamating of world opinion so it all works. You know, we don't want to kill too many people. You know, though Barbara Marx Hubbard, the New Ager, says, well, we're probably going to need to kill, she says this in veiled terms, probably a third of the human race is not ready to evolve into the next quantum jump. So by sort of a Darwinian consciousness elimination, they're going to be taken out. Sound like the book Revelation to you? I don't know.
Actually, we have the original text of that where she says, that's not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the writers of The Pale Horse Death. This is the woman whose writings were financed when they put it into book form by the Lawrence Rockefeller Fund.
Well, she was independently wealthy because what's interesting is she, I guess, is a semi-Holocaust survivor from the Marx family, and here you're talking about the next kind of Holocaust that New Agers are going to inflict on everyone else, which is just a double irony. Her dad ran the Marx Toy Company. You may or may not know this,
right,
in Colorado. Her name was Barbara Marx, and when she married Hubbard, she became Barbara Marx Hubbard. We got a letter from the former husband saying, do not connect me with this woman's name. I wish she'd get rid of my name. She's a devilish witch, is what he said.
He said a devilish witch?
Yeah.
Well, I think he was flattering her, really.
He probably is, and I'm paraphrasing. We've got the letter somewhere. But the thing is, she was part of the World Futurist Society and appears at all these global meetings. And certainly, the United Religions Initiative, she's a big pusher in that. And she's one of many. I mean, she's small fry compared to some of these characters.
Well, it's so interesting. She's still on the list on the World Future Society.
Yeah.
For those of you who would like a copy of the front page of the World Future Society, now they've changed the logo. But, of course, until recently, it was a circle made up of three sixes. Now, we began talking about that, and I'm sure other people have as well, and now they've changed the logo because that was just too flagrant. 666. But they use that number all the time. They understand. They figure the Christians are too dumb to understand the significance of what they're
Christians
doing.
Christians are considered the bottom of the food chain intellectually. I mean, literally at the bottom, along with the morons and the minnows. Seriously. They can, and it's almost true because, I mean, it's sad but true. You know, there's so much that most of the people miss because they're either on the latest Holy Spirit diet program, or they're mall waddling, or they've got their head stuffed into the television. They're the most culturally disengaged ghetto I'm aware of.
But the thing is that they really depend upon their ministers to tell them.
And
you know,
a lot of the ministers are brain dead, or they're out there making money,
or they refuse to. I mean, I went to a church, you know, and they bring in these people talking about cults, you know, we're going to have a whole week on cults. We're really going to teach you about cults. And they teach them about Mormons, and they teach them about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they teach them about Moonies. But they never mention the Masons. They never mention the Theosophists, the Rosicrucians, or the...
Because they're culturally disengaged. They really aren't looking at this guy. They have less awareness of what's going on than just about any group.
They don't understand the Masonic influence on our Supreme Court, taking God and prayer out of our schools, and none of the ministers are ever going to mention that because that would be controversial and you might offend somebody.
Yeah, well, our last three journals have enormous articles on masonry.
Well, of course...
Huge. And a guy with a Phi Beta Kappa from Harvard University. I mean, we have fairly smart writers. This is a Harvard Phi Beta Kappa. He's written our three masonry articles. He's a former Marxist who became a Christian.
Well, of course, that's the dividing line when people find the Lord, and they really, and not just finding him, but they begin using the mind that God gave them. Then they begin to see the overall picture. And the tragedy is most Christians don't see it, and if they try to talk about it, they become persona non grata in their own church.
Well, the interesting thing about our time, I mean, going back to our think tank with the 180s and over, we say, look, what we need to do, and I do this in One World, is have a global faith, and we'll do it by making a mystical congruency so it all fits together. And then by the time you've done that, you have global rock concerts, and we have a global economy right now. They're talking about a world court, world taxation, world army. Golly day, we're so close. And what the UN was set up to do by earlier roundtable groups, it almost doesn't matter because they've got 20 other options in place. That's the thing.
Amen to that. And, of course, this idea of the world currency that's coming, or the cashless society, and we're all going to...
Talk about control.
Right. You know, we go into financial chaos, and they're going to say, gee, we've got no other alternative. We're just going to have a global currency. We're going to have everything will be plastic money. But we're all set up for it now, you know, and most people have a credit card, so, you know, everybody's going to have to, you know, take the mark, and then we have to have the mark because how will we know it's really you with a credit card? It could be somebody else have stolen your credit card. So, and they have these digital chips. Already they're talking about, gee, we ought to put them in children. It will keep them from being kidnapped. We need to put them into American citizens. We know who the American citizens are. They always have all of these wonderful explanations to justify what they've always intended to do.
As I pointed out in my book, and it's in your book as well, planned crisis comes in really handy. Look, I mean, after 9/11, they had the Patriot Act, where it looked like 50 lawyers spent 20 years putting this thing together. It's so elaborate. Doesn't that tell you that it's all in place, waiting to be popped on the table like in a poker game?
46 days after the 9/11 attack, that had been signed. The bill had been signed by the president.
And exactly. And look at this elaborate thing. I mean, done by 50 plus lawyers. Come on, you know.
Well, I think that
they had it all in place, and that's the interesting thing. And even the sniper, I was on the East Coast with our recent sniper thing. You know, you get things on the internet. Was he programmed? Well, we don't know. It's possible, but what we do know is that every time one of these things comes up, the anti-gun group gets together. You have further policing. You're stopping people on the freeway. I mean, the loss of freedoms in the last 10 years are so vast that they were almost not even contemplatable in the 1950s, and certainly for the founders of this country. I mean, we're becoming very quickly a police state. Between you and me, I'm thinking of getting a second place out of the country, frankly. It ain't the America that I loved and grew up with. This is the new multicultural, you know, come out of the closet, strange America.
It certainly is. And, of course, you know, the interesting thing about the sniper is that apparently they took down the license plate 10 times, and they kept checking it and checking it and checking it, and they just couldn't find anything wrong with it. This one car was at every one of the attacks, and yet, of course, the FBI had been told several months previously in Washington State that this man had sympathetic with what happened on September 11th, and he was talking about killing police officers and driving across the country to do it. They knew that, and what did they do? Why, gee, we just couldn't put that on the out across the country. We're just so inefficient. We just don't know what we're doing. And I don't believe they're inefficient at all.
No, they need to plan crisis.
Right. I will tell you that they have their lists at the airport. They have these lists. In fact, an FBI agent called me shortly after 9/11 to ask me if I believe that these are the end times. I called him back, and I said, why did you ask me that? He said, is this call being taped? And I said, no, it's not being taped, but why did you want to know what my religious beliefs were? He said, you weren't being investigated. And I said, why did you want to know it? You weren't being investigated. Well, of course, why would he call me if they weren't investigating me? Why? He wanted to know if I believe these are the end times, if I am a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to take a quick break. But, of course, your name is on that list as well. I don't think that they don't know who the Christians are. They are the potential troublemakers that Barbara Marks talked about that we are going to have to eliminate. But don't worry. That's not your job, that's mine, for we are the riders of the pale horse. We have that quotation, if any of you want it, from her original
name. It's in One World as well.
Right. Okay, and so you want to get the book One World as well. We just want to remind that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we hope many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And remember, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America. We're over 50 stations now. We're starting a new station in Seattle the first of the month, and a little bit by little bit, we're gradually expanding our ministry with your help. And so when you join the Radio Liberty family, you're partnering with us as we are beginning to educate people about the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. Maybe you can't get on the radio as I do 5 hours a day. You could if you wanted to. But
that's tough.
But, you know, at least you can help us. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our September newsletter, it puts things in perspective after September 11th. Give us a call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the September newsletter. Give us a call right now. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is Tal Brook. His book, One World, and, of course, Avatar's Night, his second book, both of those are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And there's no book that will give you a better overview of what's going on in this movement towards the One World Government than Tal Brook's book. And, of course, this is came out some time ago, 10 years ago, a decade ago, is When the World Will Be One, and it was certainly a bestseller at that time, and it's even improved far better today with all sorts of pictures, 40% more information, and bringing it right up to date. And you better find out what the plans are, because there are wicked people out here, they have plans, and they tie into a whole different world, a whole different spectrum of spirituality, and that is the thing that the public really has such a hard time realizing, is that there really are people out there that are satanically obsessed or possessed. They're working within our society, and of course some of them try to get out. Others have certainly given their whole lives to the dark side. Because Satan is not just simply a figment of somebody's imagination or of the X-Files. Satan is alive and well here on planet Earth today. Would you agree, Tal?
Absolutely. I mean, my encounter was in India. I was under a miracle-working guy who was totally possessed, and I suddenly realized that the formal theological term is theodicy, the problem of evil, and people down history have tried to work out a total understanding of it, and the only one that really makes sense is the one that that God explains, and people like Augustine elaborated on, and the reality of evil is so deep it's over most people's heads. But when you touch it, whether you go into you see the aftermath of a satanic ceremony, or you walk into certain Indian temples, it's like feeling it's like entering a radiation zone. It's right down in your guts. There's no denial of it. And when you really come into contact with one of these major spirits, there's absolutely no doubt. And so when the Bible says that the powers and principalities, vast intelligence here, are going to conspire for a world order, and then we see, you know, one political after another using the code words, and we see the setup. Golly, it's kind of hard to miss it. And even as I was saying before the break, the sniper, you know, an interesting thing is the Washington chief used code words from kind of a nursery rhyme in answering this guy, and all of a sudden the killing stopped and they nailed him, and someone said, well, in trance work, when you're doing mind control, and this came out in the movie The Manchurian Candidate, that was taken off the market because John F. Kennedy was killed within 2 months of the movie's release. But in that, you had a code that nullified the killer. He'd done his mission, and then they took him off, and that's done with a spoken code. Post-hypnotic suggestion, whatever you want to call it, but There's always the question in some of these, quote, mad people that go out there and do it, and then the government invokes new laws, and that is they need the chaos to then bring in the policing powers. And you wonder with some of these so-called mad killers, these are throwaways. I mean, a lot of these characters, you just wonder. I mean, is this one programmed to do it? And then he gets the nursery rhyme, and then he's off. You know, I have the nursery rhyme somewhere in the database. But at any rate, I mean, this is very common.
Well, let's go to Carolyn calling. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
Carmel Valley.
Okay, fine. Good to have you with us.
Regarding Cal's remark about the church, you know, I see... it seems to me that Freemasonry has come into the leadership of the church and is affecting the doctrine and attempting to take the whole church back under orthodoxy.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I had the opportunity to have dinner with the wife of the head of one of our major seminaries that had just been taken back by the Southern Baptists, and she told me that it would take 20 years to do the harm that had been done to the seminaries of the Southern Baptists because they'd been taken over by the dark side. And they had lots of people teaching there who didn't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Masons controlled the Southern Baptist Convention until, you know, within the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And the American people don't know that.
I don't think it's just the Baptists.
Oh, I'm a Baptist. I don't want to pick on the Presbyterians, but they're everywhere. They really are. And,
yeah.
And until the people understand this and ask their ministers, why won't you speak out on this? And the ministers who have the courage to speak out, we have to back.
It's like a sacred cow. And because they get a lot of their support from these people, they don't want to say anything.
Well, of course, they are held to a higher standard than I am, fortunately, you know, but I believe ministers are going to have an awful lot to answer for when they get to heaven. And some of them are going to be certainly praised, and I think that the Lord's going to say, I never knew you, to some of them. In fact, we're doing a program this evening on Left Behind. How many people who think they're Christians are going to be left behind? That's our 9 o'clock program on KFPR, if you can listen in. Okay, anything else,
Kevin? Thank you.
Thank you.
All.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I think we hit a chord with Carolyn anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are a lot of people out there who know that something is seriously wrong, but they just don't understand.
Well, that was one of the first waves of penetration, because as I said, we have 3 articles on Masonry, probably adding up to 60 pages in our last 3 journals, and it's very deep stuff. And starting in the ferment in the 1700s, and you think of the French Revolution and the Continental, you know, Masons, and you know all those things. You know, of course, you have Robeson's Proofs of a Conspiracy,
sure.
And he talks about Adam Weishaupt using European Masonry as a filtering mechanism for what we would later see as socialist communist revolution. The main thing was to overthrow the hereditary monarchies and destroy the church.
And of course, they were right here in the United States. We have George Washington's letter talking about his concern about the influence of the Illuminati in the United States in the 1790s.
Which is quoted in One World, too.
Right.
I mean, and this has been one of the brilliant waves. I mean, this whole thing orchestrated, but certainly Weishaupt did a massive penetration in Europe, and leading right up to the Reign of Terror in the French Revolution.
Well, I think it's really so important that our listeners out there get the information, and I think Tal has done a wonderful, wonderful job with this book. It's called One World, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, and he's got 3 of his SCP journals, and you can get those by calling 510-540-0300. That's 510-540-0300, and I've read his journals for years, and they do such a good job with them. I recommend them to you.
Well, thank you, and of course, your book is right here on my shelf. If if I were to be interviewed, they would see the spine of your book sitting right here on my shelf. That's
well,
true. Right here.
I appreciate that. And let's see, we've got Ed calling, and we're just about out of time. Hi, Ed. Did you have a question or comment?
Dr. Stan, I had two questions. What's the author's last name?
His last name is Brook. This is Tal Brook.
Okay. I had another question of the author. Does he, of all the different things, the Masons, the Illuminati, are there any good secret societies that mean well for the human population of the world, and maybe their intent is good, but then you have the dark side?
Oh, that's a good question. Do you know of any secret societies that are good?
I think many of them sort of think that they are, and I think a lot of your members on the outer circle think so. I mean, you know, this is always hard to sort of judge. A lot of them sound perfectly innocent. And there are lots of Shriners who, you know, want to get involved in hospitals and parades and wearing their fezes and you know, drum beating down the street. But this is real light, L-I-T-E. I mean, the heavier stuff, of course, is behind. And then, I mean, I think they're members of the Club of Rome and groups like this that wanted to limit things and, you know, limit the population for its own good and their environmental groups. But, you know, you go slightly higher up the food chain of cunning here, and then you learn that all these things are going to massively control and regulate life on the planet. I mean, in China, you can only have one child. Well, golly, that's nice. And certainly environmental regulations are a whole separate hour with Stanley and me. But all these things sound just great. So many of them sound just fantastic. And I think there are a lot of innocent people that go along that just don't know any better, but they're being manipulated. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, absolutely. In fact, Manly P. Hall said in his book, Lectures in Ancient Philosophy, speaking of Masonry, and he was a 33rd degree Mason,
yeah.
He said that, you know, Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer fraternity of good-hearted men having a good time doing good, but an inner fraternity of men who study the Ancorum and the Anconorum.
Yeah.
That is the secret and the secrets of secrets. And that, of course, is what it's really all about. The average Mason has no idea what Masonry is about. He's been lied to. Well, we're just about out of time. What's your parting thought for us today?
Well, we have to persevere, grow in our awareness, be aware of this thing. And, you know, I think there are more and more people waking up personally.
I do, too.
I think part of it, I mean, I'm optimistic. And ultimately, you're optimistic because God controls history, and in the end, evil will be defeated. It's like the whole Tolkien Lord of the Rings thing. In the meantime, we're all here in the drama, and let's make our lives count. You know, let's go back to the early America, when people were risking their lives in blood to get this country on track. And, you know, we don't know the folds and turns of history. We just have to make our lives.
And we have
right
to be
now.
Involved as best we can.
Oh,
again,
we have to.
Again, the telephone number, if you'd like to get hold of Tal, 510-540-0300. That's 510-540-0300. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Bless you, Stanley.
Right, bye-bye. We'll
bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Okay, fine. That was Tal Brook, and Tal is certainly one of the best informed people in the entire nation. I always enjoy having him here with us, and so pray for America. We're in real trouble. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers, because they should be leading the spiritual battle, not a retired orthopedic surgeon in his twilight years. And then, of course, remember our conference we're going to have there, the 23rd of November, out at the Aptos Seascape. And, of course, it's all day long. There's going to be a luncheon. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's the weekend before Thanksgiving. I think you'll hopefully learn a lot about what you must be doing now if you hope to survive the trying times that lie ahead. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Hello, can I help you? Yeah, how are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have aquatic fatigue or what?
Pick up the stuff for Kyle?
Yes, uh-huh.